We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. 13th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. We have been dealing upon the subject, the question, why is the house of God forsaken? Asked in the verse 11 of Nehemiah 13. We have been seeking to answer that question. We notice, first of all, because of the unheeded separation in the verses 1 to 3. Then, as we continued our study, we noticed, secondly, in verses 4 to 9, because of the uncleanness in the sanctuary. Tobiah in the midst of the sanctuary of God. Last Lord's Day, we were looking at this passage from verses 10 to 14. And we noticed the house of God was forsaken because of the unkept tithings. That people had not given their tithes and brought their tithes into the storehouse of God. I want us to continue our study this morning. We'll commence reading at verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grape, figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. It came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. For that time, from that time forth, came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates, to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and pulled off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like unto him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? One of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. And we end our reading there, and God will bless it to our hearts. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. Open the page to our hearts and our understanding. Grant that our God, as we go forth today from thy house, that we might have been taught of thee. Bless thy word now to our hearts, I pray, and cover us in the precious blood. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue and conclude our study this morning, in answering the question, why is the house of God forsaken, we come to the fourth reason. The house of God was forsaken from verses 15 down there to verse 22. That's the next section. Because of the unhallowed Sabbath. Because of the unhallowed Sabbath. You see, as Nehemiah looked around him, he saw that in the outlying areas of Judah, and also in Jerusalem itself, there was a flagrant desecration of the Sabbath day. If you go back to chapter 10, you will find that in chapter 10 of the book of Nehemiah, and at the end of that chapter, you find in verse number 31, it says there, "And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt." And here we find that there is a covenant being made between the people and God Himself. And they're saying here that if there are those who come to sell on the Sabbath day, they bring their wares and they bring their victuals on the Sabbath day, they enter into a covenant and they say, we would not buy it on or off them on the Sabbath. In other words, they were going to honor the Sabbath day. And they were remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And yet whenever you come to chapter 13, you find that they have already broken the covenant. Because in chapter 13 you find that they bring their wares and they bring their grapes and their figs and their burdens to Jerusalem. And they brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And we find that not only did they bring their wares, their fish, and all that they had, but it says, and they sold on the Sabbath, verse 16, unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. You see, it was one thing for them to bring, but there was another thing for them to be able to sell. And the people had covenanted with God that they were going to honor the Sabbath. But now we find that it says that when they brought these all manner of wares, that they sold them on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. And they were breaking the law of the Sabbath. They were breaking the commandment, the fourth commandment which God had given unto them. If you turn back to the book of Exodus in the chapter 20, you find it says in the verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And here we find that when you come to the book of Nehemiah, that they have broken the Sabbath. Now, whenever Nehemiah sees this, as God's servant, it's no small matter, it is no small thing that they have broken the Sabbath. And we find that whenever Nehemiah saw it, and in his heart was broken over it. He demanded that there was action taken concerning it. He didn't stand back and say, well, listen, I know others are breaking the Sabbath, so there's nothing that I can do. He sought that he would do his best, that he would give a leadership.
in the land at that time, whether it was accepted or whether it wasn't, he certainly was doing what he could to honor the Lord's day. And that's why our moderator, whenever they were playing the rugby on the Sabbath day, even though politically it was unpopular, still he took a stand for the Lord's day, and he took a stand for the honoring of the Lord's day, the day that God has given to his believing church. And friends, we have got to see that Nehemiah demanded an action be taken. You see, to Israel, the Sabbath was a sign of the covenant between God and them. In the 31st chapter of the book of Exodus, it tells us in the verse number 13, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you, and ye shall keep the Sabbath thereof, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever therefore doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death." And therefore we find it was a very solemn thing, it was a very serious thing for the people of Judah to be breaching the covenant between God and the people, because the Sabbath was a sign of the covenant. Let me tell you what it meant. Under the covenant that God had made with Israel concerning the Sabbath, even the servants and even the cattle were to rest. We read in the 20th chapter there concerning the commandment which God said, "And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter nor thy manservant, maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." And so we find that it was a solemn day of rest. For example, the food was to be cooked before the Sabbath came upon them on the Friday. On the Sabbath, no purchase was to be made. On the Sabbath, no burden was to be carried. On the Sabbath day, no harvesting was to be done. Sad reality is today that one day in seven is now cast aside in this modern age, and we call it prosperity. And the reason why, of course, that man is doing is that is simply this, that man doesn't want to give anything to God. You see, man doesn't recognize that really God has any demands upon them at all. And when God demands a day, and when God rested the seventh day, and when God set a covenant in Israel, and when we have today for the believing church the Lord's day, still that day of rest, we find that man is not willing to countenance that God has any right or God has any demand upon their lives. Even in the time of harvesting, I said, it says, 6 days thou shalt work, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 21. But on the seventh day thou shalt rest, in earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. The Bible tells us that seed time and harvest shall not cease. And God has honored that, and God has blessed the people that has honored that. And man hasn't lost by honoring God. God says that when we bring the tithes into the storehouse, God says, "Prove me now." God says, "I'll open the windows of heaven." God says, "I'll pour you out a blessing, that there's not even room enough to contain it and hold it." And the older generation, let me tell you, an Ulster friend, when times were even hard and times were difficult and they had absolutely nothing, our fathers and our forefathers honored the Sabbath day in earing time and harvest time, even though in the days whenever the summertime was, it was very difficult to harvest and to bring in the store, friend, they still honored God. And God blessed the country under them. And God blessed them. And God gave them a blessing and a prosperity far beyond that money could ever buy. And God has promised a blessing for those that honor Him. Because there is a statement in the book and it still stands, friend. Him that honoreth me, him will I honor, and God will. You prove God and He'll honor you. If you put God to the test and you just honor God. Yes, no purchase was to be made. No burden was to be carried. No harvesting was to be done. They honored God. In Jeremiah's day, he warned the people concerning that. In Jeremiah chapter 17. And this is what he said. Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 17 verse 21. Thus saith the Lord. Yes, it's God speaking here. Take heed to yourselves. Listen today. Young people, older people, moms and dads. Let me tell you. The sad reality is this. That even many of God's people are breaching the Sabbath day. The day of rest. And today it's no longer a holy day. It's no longer a day set apart for worship. It's a day for themselves. It's a day whenever my it seems that's the time that you bring everybody in, especially on the Sabbath evening. You don't need to go to church anymore. You just bring everybody in and you feast together and you talk about the world. You talk about everything and everybody. But you leave the Lord out. And many of God's people are now getting into that kind of an attitude that there's the one oncers only, just one time, drop into God's house. Sure, I've done a God a service. I attended on the Sabbath morning. I don't really need. It's really my day. You see, when a God give God the morning, it's the rest of the day is mine. That was the teaching of Rome. Do anything you like after it. Once you drop into the place, a place of worship in the morning, just the rest of the day is yours. Let me tell you, my friend, the rest of the day is not yours. It's not yours. It is a day that is set apart for the worship of God. We sang this morning. We were reading this morning about the joy going into the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God says, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it into the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. Neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. And they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but they made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. It shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden throughout the gate of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. What a blessing! What a blessing for honoring God! God has given you the breath in your body. He is worthy of a day that is set apart when He gives you six other days for yourself. Six is the number of man, my friend. Let me tell you, God gives you 6 days for yourself and for your family. He demands for you one day set apart and seven. And He says this, listen, yes, there's a blessing. Verse 26, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. That's what the day is for. Coming to the house of the Lord. Coming to worship God, friend. But mark verse 27. But if ye will not hearken unto me, to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. And friend, when you come to the book of Nehemiah, what do you find? The gates were burned down, and the walls had been demolished, and the walls were left in rubble. Why? Because they did not honor God and did not honor God's day. Now Nehemiah is saying, listen, it happened as Jeremiah said it. Listen, God warned you through the prophet Jeremiah. You wouldn't listen. You decided to have your own way. You decided to do your own thing. But listen, he said, listen. Now the walls are built up. Because we find that when the Jews came back to Jerusalem, they built the walls again. And the temple has been erected again. And now we find that the people's going back to the desecration of the Sabbath day. And this is what Nehemiah is saying. Listen, it happened as Jeremiah prophesied. It can happen again. The judgment fell before. It can happen again. If the people turn away from God, if the people choose their own path, it can happen again. Friend, in Ulster, the tragedy is this. The people of Ulster are turning away. Yes, they feel that there really is no need of God. When their hearts were breaking, when they were carrying their loved ones week after week to the graveyards and mourning after their murdered loved ones, their heart was breaking. They had to cry out unto God. Now they feel they have no need of God. And really, God has no place in this modern society. We're living in such a modern and multicultural society. We really don't need. We don't even need to mention God. A young fellow that was in this congregation, or comes to meetings in this congregation, was sitting the other day in his place of work. He was sitting reading some verses from the scripture. It was dinner time. There was a young lad that sometimes comes with him to the meetings. And they asked him to read a little verse to him. He's a foreigner. And he was reading out the scriptures. That young fellow was called in by his employers and told never to do it again. Because somebody was sitting at another table and objected because he read the Bible. And he's not allowed to carry his Bible into his place of work. And they tell him he will lose his job if he carries his Bible into his place of work to read it, even in his own time. Friend, those are sad days for Ulster. Those are sad days for this beloved land of ours. And I'll tell you this, we are heading towards the days of persecution for the child of God. And you know the only way out for us, it's to honor God, because it's only as we honor God that God will intervene and bless and deliver us. Nehemiah says, listen, learn the lessons of the past. Learn the lessons. Jeremiah warned, but you wouldn't listen. And the gates were destroyed and the walls were pulled down. Now the walls are built up again. Now the gates are put upon us now. Yes, we have built our homes again and things are safe. And now we're prospering. But now we don't need God anymore. He said, I warn you, it can happen again. God will judge again. Children of God, let me say something to you. I want to speak to the children of God here. Don't give God half his day. Give him all his day. Don't give him half of it. You're driving around and wandering around the countryside. On the Lord's Day evening, and souls are going to hell, child of God. Yes, your loved ones are going to hell and my loved ones are going to hell. And it seems to be it doesn't bother or doesn't cost you a thought. As long as you're just your master. Doing your own thing. Let me tell you, there's always a price to be paid. There's always a price to be paid. It can happen again. That's what Nehemiah said. And Nehemiah, the sin was spotted of the day. And then the sin was specified, because when Nehemiah came, you'll notice in the chapter 13, let's just go back to it again. In chapter 13, it says, verse 17, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah." Why did he go to the nobles, friend? Because, you see, these were the nobles, the wealthy landowners, those with influence. It was them that was leading the way. It was them that were wanting to make their money. "And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath.'" Yes, the sin was spotted and the sin was specified. But listen, the sin was stopped. Because you see, Nehemiah was the governor. And as governor, if nobody else was going to do anything as governor, he was going to do what he could. And he used the power of governorship to promote righteousness. And the Bible says in verse 19 that when the gates of the city began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut. And I charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Listen, they tried outside the gate to do the same thing. So what did he do? Verse 21. "Then I testified against them and said unto them, 'Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you.' From that time forth, came they no more on the Sabbath day." He did what he could. And friend, I know that in public life it is not easy. But God tells us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we have to do what we can. And of course, the best way is to lead by example. Mother, father, if your children follow you on the Sabbath day evening, tell me, will they follow you to some neighbor's house? Or will they follow you to the Lord's house? I asked you a question. If they follow you this evening when it comes for time for worship, if your family, and remember this, you have them only for a wee while, because they'll soon be left the nest and they'll soon be out in the world. And if they follow you this evening when it comes to the house of prayer and praise and worship of God Almighty, where will they follow you to? Because remember, they will follow your example. In Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 13, it says this, and verse 14, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor seeking thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth
of the Lord has spoken it. Gladstone was a Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And William Gladstone said these words, and I quote him, "Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be. Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be." When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was the first day of the week. It is known as the Christian Sabbath, the day of resurrection. We stand on resurrection ground. And we find that when you come to the New Testament, that the New Testament believers, they met together. They came together for the breaking of their bread on the first day of the week. It was the Christian Sabbath. Day set apart. And as I close this morning, for time is beating us today, and I want to go into the last one, but I'm not going to rush it because it's very important too. The last reason why the house of God was forsaken. But in Acts chapter 20, in the verse number 7, I just want to show you this in closing. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And they had no cushions on their seats." Some people, you know, whenever it comes to a certain time, you know, they sort of watch their, when it gets past the hour, they sort of look at their arm, gets very attractive for some reason or other. I can't understand it, but their arm, either it's sore or it's heavy because they're carrying something on it. But they seem to sort of turn it up now and again. But it says here that Paul preached unto them and he continued his speech until midnight. I just guarantee we'll not keep you to midnight. But it was the first day of the week. The disciples came together to break bread. Then turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in the verse 1 and 2, we read these words. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. They give of their tithes and their offerings on the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, the day of the Lord's Sabbath." And then finally in the book of Revelation, John is saying in Revelation chapter 1, in the verse number 10, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying unto me." Friend, this is the Lord's day. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in to the house of the Lord." Let's safeguard the Christian Sabbath. Let us honor the Lord, not only in our tithes and in our offerings, but let us honor the Lord in our time. Let us give the Lord His day. Let's worship Him.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious, eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day that is set apart. We ask of Thee, our God, that we might be so careful in our worship of Thee in it. Help us, our God, to gladly give it to Thee. O God, I say with all my heart, I am glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And O God, there is no place where I'd rather be than be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. Help us, our God, to worship Thee this day. And if there are those in our gathering and they still know Thee not, they have never bowed that knee at the foot of the cross by simple faith. They have never acknowledged their sinfulness and their lostness and their undone estate. O God, even this morning as their head is bowed before Thee, help them to acknowledge that they're lost and unclean. Help them, our God, to lift their eyes by faith to the Savior. Look unto me and be ye saved, saith the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. O God, I acknowledge this day Jesus Christ as my Savior. May many turn to Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen.